beautiful people. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever time it is. I hope you've had or had an amazing day. My name is Lorena, and welcome back to my podcast, Walk and Talk with Me. If you're new here, thank you for being here today. I usually record these either at home or when I'm walking or when I just have an idea. I don't follow necessarily a script. I just kind of pick a topic, and whatever I'm feeling like that day is when I record, and I post episodes every Monday. And yeah, usually these episodes are all over the place. I feel like I don't really have too much structure. I just like it to feel natural, like we're having a conversation. I don't want it to be too serious. Sometimes I'll just stray away from the conversation. I also have some cats, and there's a lot of traffic today, so there will definitely be some noise in the background, but outside of all that, I'm in a great mood today. It's a beautiful day. I'm gonna go get a matcha and just hang out with my friends. So, but speaking on that, I am really excited to share today's episode because it's something that changed how I view love, relationships, and myself. And I truly do think it's something that we all need to understand on a deeper level. And that's attachment styles. I have been super into self-help books. I recently did a podcast episode on the Let Them Theory book by Mel Robbins, which did really well. So thank you for all the love and support. And I thought, you know what? I keep reading these books. I love them. I love helping myself. I love that these authors are here to just help us. And why not just continue to spread that help, you know? So I recently read the book called Attached by Amir Levine, I hope I said that right, and Rachel Heller, and it just felt like someone opened a window in my brain and I suddenly just felt super understood. Like, I could see why I acted the way that I did in past relationships, why certain things maybe triggered me, and most importantly, what could I do to show up a little more securely in love? If you've heard of attachment styles, awesome. Maybe you know what kind you fall into. I'm pretty sure there's a quiz online. If you haven't, then I'm glad you've clicked this episode. Or even if you have, then let's recap a little because I think it's something that is good to just be self-aware of. And yeah, today we're going to talk about what the attachment styles are, how they show up, how to identify which one's yours, and how to move towards maybe a more secure and way of loving. Because there's definitely things and relationships that we don't realize are actually forms of attachment styles, but yet they happen constantly. And if we don't know which one we fall into or who we are, then we can never really fix it. Now, I say this in every episode. I love my therapist. So she's done so much work with me the last couple of years, and I'm super grateful. But within that, of course, I like to just do my own separate work and just learn more about myself and the human brain and how we are. And honestly, sometimes I wonder if I should have gone into psychology, but I didn't. So on that note, I want to share some personal reflections when I speak about today. Including maybe some not so cute parts of my attachment journey and past relationships. And you know, we're here to be honest and just, I say this in every episode and in every description, I'm here to heal with you day by day. I like to take things in life just day by day because it's just how it should be. You know, we don't know what's tomorrow and we can't go back and change the past. So let's just get real. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. And yes, for reference, I do have some notes that I took from this book. Just things that stood out to me, and maybe they'll stand out to you. So, anyways, see, like I said, I like to all over the place. So, what are attachment styles and why do they matter? Attachment theory comes from psychology, and it basically explains how we form these emotional bonds with other people. And it starts mainly, of course, when we're kids and how our parents treat us, and then what we do when those bonds feel threatened. So these patterns are often shaped by, like I said, our early relationships with our caregivers, the people who influence us, and of course, they influence how we show up romantically later on. There's three main styles: anxious, avoidant, and secure. Now, I'm not saying you can only be one. You can fall in between categories. You can be all three. But there will always be one that you're more towards. When I did the test, I was in the anxious one. And I was a little confused because I felt as if I was more avoidant from my previous actions. But like I said, you can be in the middle of things and still understand why maybe certain things may lean towards the other. So let me explain them just quickly. So the anxious attachment style means that you're deeply connected to your partner's moods and behaviors. So you often feel worried that they might leave. You need a lot of reassurance and words of affirmation. You struggle a lot with emotional regulation. You know, when there's space or conflict, it's really hard for you to get through. You constantly feel like you're gonna break up or like there's someone better than you. I find that insecurities play a really, really big role in the anxious attachment style. You know, whatever you're insecure about, it's definitely gonna resurface in this kind of attachment style. And especially, like I said, the first line of being deeply connected to your partner's moods and behaviors. I talk about this quite often. I'm a very empathetic person. I'm still learning to set up boundaries and say no, as we all are. But being an empath comes with its repercussions, and it makes me feel very heavily what my partner or friends or people around me are feeling. So, you know, when someone's really upset, I can feel that they're upset, and then I get upset, and that kind of energy flow. Now, the second one is avoidant. So you value your independence and your autonomy. Being close with someone makes you super nervous. You have your walls up constantly. You're avoidant. And you might more so, I think, withdraw or just downplay your emotions just to keep from being too vulnerable. My last relationship was very much like that, I felt. My partner was avoidant, you know, they didn't really know too well how to express their feelings, so instead they would just downplay it, or they would just pretend that it was all fine when it clearly wasn't. And I think with avoidant, communication plays a big role there. Well, communication plays a big role in all of these and in every relationships, but I think avoidant comes a lot with communication styles because you are trying to avoid facing a truth or facing maybe an opinion that you may have about yourself. And I was just learning about this at school. There's this thing called the sensitive line. And the minute that you trigger someone's sensitive line, it starts to trigger them. So maybe something that you say about them that they don't believe about themselves, right? So maybe you're being honest in your way, but they don't want to believe that. They don't want to understand that they need help or that they need a change. But that's where the sensitive line comes in. And then lastly, we have secure. So you're able to communicate openly. You're able to connect emotionally. You are basically the opposite of the last two. You feel stable in love. You trust your partner. You trust yourself. And you're able to just have a very peaceful, calm relationship. And I think people sometimes misunderstand attachment styles, because they think that they're labels. Like, okay, I'm anxious, so that means that I'm broken and insecure. Or I'm avoidant, so that means that I can't love and I can never be that way anymore. And that's not true. Like, these are not fixed identities. You don't just fall into the category and that's who you are. These are just patterns. And the beautiful thing about patterns is that we can actually unlearn them. Side story, I had a partner in my past who was very much the avoidant style as well, and he really felt that he couldn't love. That was just what he would always tell me. He was like, I don't know how to love. I was never really taught love by my parents. I feel like I'm never gonna be able to. And he always felt that it was something just like deep rooted within him, that as much as he wanted to and as much as he tried, it just never worked for him. And I felt for him so deeply. But of course, back then, I was the fixer-upper. So, you know, I thought that I could change him. Yes, I know you're probably nodding your head and you're like, of course. Or maybe you're like, same. But yeah, obviously that didn't work out. Eventually, years later, we reconnected. He ended up going to therapy and he's in an amazing relationship right now. And I'm so happy for him. But yeah, that's my side story. It's so interesting that I think truly from even a young age, these kind of patterns show up in our life and in our relationships without us even noticing them. So, my experience, I've personally always had an anxious attachment style. I grew up in a household where I felt that I needed to gain validation by doing things. I always needed to be better, do better. I carried a lot of my parents' emotional weight. And that just was always on to me. And, you know, there was that thing if my parents would constantly leave us alone as well. So there was a bit of abandonment issues there. I'm not trauma dumping on you guys, I swear. I'm just trying to connect with the topic. Basically, I grew up very anxious. I felt that I needed always that constant reassurance that people weren't going to leave. But reality is, as I've learned, people are going to leave if they want to. People are going to cheat if they want to. People are going to do whatever they want. Everyone has their own life. And you can't change somebody. You can only change yourself. And there's this really good quote that I like that says, what you're not changing, you're choosing. And it's so true. If you're choosing to stay in that relationship that you know is not good for you, then respectfully, that's on you. So same goes for me, right? I learned a lot from my past and thinking that I didn't deserve better when I knew I did. And that came from anxiety. That came from having this attachment style of, oh, they're going to leave me, so I need to do better. I need to be better. Even when I wasn't doing anything wrong. So when I read this book, I honestly didn't even realize what attachment styles were or what especially anxious attachment style meant, because I knew I had anxiety, but I just thought that maybe I was too much or that I was never enough, that I was too emotional or I was always in every relationship being called that I was too sensitive. And it sucks. Like, I feel very deeply. That's just how I am. I am a sensitive person. But having that used against me over and over became a form of insecurity for me. So reading Attached helped me realize that all these feelings came from a deep need to just feel safe in love. And not knowing how to get that need met in a healthy way really made me realize that I needed to just spend some time with the Lord and on my own. Because when I was little, I just, love did not feel stable for me. And so there were these moments of closeness and then distance. It was a very push and pull, cat and mouse. My parents worked a lot and I was often left with other people. Of course they love me, but the inconsistency shaped something inside me. A belief that love could be taken away at any moment for me. So when I jumped into relationship after relationship after relationship, I became hyper aware of just everything. If someone took too long to text back, I would panic. If they needed space, I felt abandoned. If plans changed, I would spiral. And I had this deep fear of just being forgotten, being changed, being left behind, that there was always someone better. And that fear led to something super unhealthy and all these patterns and behaviors that I remember in specific times with past partners being like, instead of saying, you know, I feel anxious and I just need connection, I would try to make them jealous, or I'd pull away, or I'd flirt with other guys. Not because I didn't care, but because I cared so much that it scared me. And of course, it never worked. None of the things that I did were healthy. They were all terrible patterns. I pushed them away. I created drama. And I ended up feeling even more insecure. So there are so many things that I could talk about that I did wrong in my past relationships, because I think there is always going to be a part of me that, of course, wishes that I tried harder and did better. At the end of the day, it didn't work out for a reason. Whatever happened, happened. I'm a true believer that everything does happen for a reason, and that the Lord will pull me out of certain people and situations because there's something better waiting for me. And I believe that for everybody. But it is truly really hard when you're stuck in a relationship or situation that feels like a cat and mouse game, because you feel this praise and this amazing feeling when you're given love, and then all of a sudden it's taken away from you. And like I said, there's this push and pull. You get this high off it. And it's like a honeymoon phase. Everything's amazing for a few days and a few weeks, and then it just goes back to being terrible. I remember, like, honestly, looking back, I think this is so crazy. I remember with multiple of my partners, we would literally congratulate ourselves for going a day without arguing. Like, that is just insane to me. Like, honestly, that I feel so... I don't even know. Just thinking about that just makes me feel so sad. Like, that was the standard, really, for the relationship. Like, what was I doing? But, you know, when you're anxiously attached like me, your partner's behavior becomes your emotional thermostat. Like, if they're close and responsive, you're calm. If they're distant or distracted, you spiral. And, oh, when you have two anxious people in a relationship, just imagine, okay? Because that's usually the case. Or you have one anxious and one avoidant. And I really do believe that it only will work out if you have one secure person in the relationship. Two, that's the goal, right? But I do think it is very hard to get to that place, especially if you have a partner that is doing certain things to trigger certain scenarios. Anyways, so there's this thing called activating strategies, and I read this in the book. So activating strategies are behaviors that you use to try and get closeness back. It can be like constant texting, checking their social media, obsessing over something they said, replaying moments in your head, especially that one. And once they reassure you or reconnect, boom, you're fine. So, example, your partner hasn't texted you back, or your friend, or whatever. All of a sudden, activating strategies come in. You're overthinking, why aren't they texting me back? Did I say something wrong? Maybe they're too busy, who are they hanging out with? Whatever you're overthinking. And then all of a sudden they text you and it's like, hey, I'm good, how are you? Whatever. And then you're fine. You're like, oh, I was overthinking for nothing. That is anxious attachment. If you've ever wondered, or if you're out there, I don't have Snapchat anymore, but if you're out here checking someone's Snap score, my love, you are anxious. Reality check. But the problem is that this creates a dependency loop. So you stop trusting your own stability that you're going to be fine. And now you're relying on other people to make you feel okay. And I'm going to tell you that is exhausting for not just the person that now you're relying and clinging onto, but to yourself as well. In this generation, I want to point out so many people, yes, including myself, we use ChatGPT so much. I see so many memes and TikToks about it, of people being like, oh, me texting ChatGPT about my problems. Honestly, I think that ChatGPT is really the future, of course, and good for so many things. But if you're starting to rely on it for every little text and message, being like, what do I say? This is a robot. This is programmed to give you the response that you want. ChatGPT is always going to agree with you. I'm telling you that right now. There's no feelings or human. And now you're relying on this thing to tell you what to do and how to act. So that's also a form of anxiety, and that is also not helping you in any way. So keep that in mind. Another big thing for anxious types is a tendency to misinterpret behavior. And I fell into this one so many times. If your partner forgets something, you take it personally. If they're busy, you think they don't care. We start creating these stories and narratives in our head before we just ask questions, because we assume rejection before we even express our needs. We could easily be like, hey, I'm just feeling this way. Could I get some reassurance? Or, hey, I'm just wondering if there's a reason you forgot this. I was feeling this certain way. Like, there are so many positive and good ways of being healthy and communicating. And I'm not to say I'm perfect. I'm still working on it. And I do believe that once you get in a relationship, so many things like this will resurface that you didn't know that you had or needed or hadn't worked through. But attached truly does talk about how we can try and train ourselves to pause in these moments and to reframe this kind of story. Maybe they're just tired. Maybe they're overwhelmed. Maybe they're going through something. Maybe it's not about you, okay? And I've started doing this thing where before reacting, I'll take a deep breath and I'll say, okay, what's another possible reason that this may be happening? And almost every time, the truth is, there is something else. It's not always about you. It's not always going to be personal. Now, let's talk about avoided insecure styles, because why not? I focus so much on anxiety because I feel like that's honestly the biggest thing, at least in my generation, especially even with, I've referenced this before, but the Inside Out 2 movie from Disney. They just did such an amazing job talking and portraying about anxiety. Anyways, so yeah, let's talk about avoidant attachment styles for a moment, because avoidant people, I think, are misinterpreted as being cold, and I don't think that's the case. I think they're just cautious. They were often raised in environments where vulnerability was seen as a weakness, or emotional needs were never really met consistently. Wow, sorry. So they learn to just kind of self-soothe and depend on themselves. I truly do think that a lot of men fall under this category because, you know, expressing your emotions are dumb and you can't cry, you need to tough it out. So you just learn to be independent. You know, you learn to just tuck everything in and not feel. And it sucks because in relationships, this starts to look like needing a lot of space. You avoid deep conversations. You feel uncomfortable with too much closeness. And avoidant often pulls away right when things get too serious. It's not because they don't care, but because the closeness feels threatening. And I think that's why anxious and avoidant pairings can be so difficult, because one person wants more closeness and the other one wants more space. And then you both end up triggering each other, and this is push and pull. Why do I keep saying pull? Same thing. I met a guy recently. Things are going great. And immediately, I realized that they were super avoidant. Every time I try to have a deep conversation with them, the conversation would just shift. They would change. They would ask me a different question. I ended up stepping back from that situation because I knew immediately, I saw a red flag from a mile away, and I was not going to be here to fix them or change them. And yeah, like I feel like I am still a bit anxious, but I'm gaining that security over time. And I think secure attachment is what everyone is aiming for at some point. So secure attachment is you know how to communicate clearly. You're not here playing games. It's more mature. You aren't afraid or emotionally intimidated of intimacy. Intimacy in so many levels. You assume that your partner means well, and you stay calm during conflict. That one especially. If you can be calm and actually not have an argument and just have a discussion instead, That's me clapping. Like, honestly, I'm so proud of you, because that patience takes a lot, especially with dealing with different kinds of people. And trusting, especially after your trust has been broken so many times, is hard as well. But I also don't think it's fair to put your insecurities, and because maybe in your past relationship things didn't work out, or you got cheated on or hurt, and now you're putting these trust issues onto your new partner. I truly don't think that's fair either. I've been there, I've done that, I've seen it, I've had it done on me, and it is not fair for either or. So if you have trust issues, go and work them out before you get into a relationship, okay? Because if you start depending on your relationship to fix your trust issues, you're doing it all wrong. So this book outlines traits of secure people. And honestly, it is very refreshing to read, because secure people don't need drama. They don't need to ghost you. They just respond with care. And here's the best part. Being around secure people helps you become more secure. It is proven. And that is why, if you're anxious, you might feel bored with a secure partner at first, because they're actually not triggering your anxiety and your brain is used to chaos. But peace is not boring. Peace can be so beautiful and healthy. And so here's what I've learned and what I'm still learning. Being secure doesn't mean being perfect. It just means being very self-aware. It means taking responsibility for your emotions. It means learning to sit with discomfort without reacting in ways that hurt the relationship or the people around you. I'm learning to give myself the attention that maybe I crave for my partner. When they're tired or busy or they need time with their family, you just remind yourself, you know, this is not rejection, it's balance. You learn to express your needs without guilt. Say, hey, I miss you, I would love some quality time. Instead of just picking a fight and being like, why are you busy? Why aren't you hanging out with me? Like I said, taking things personal and assuming. You learn to stop keeping score. You know, love is not transactional, guys. Like, because you did this the other day means that it's your turn. I really, really don't understand how there's couples like that. You know, you're keeping score from what I said 3 months ago, or that the last time we argued, because I've been in these type kinds of relationships, and it's horrible. Why are you keeping score on your partners? Like, just stop. Just forgive. If you can't forgive, then you're not with the right person. That is not love. That is manipulation. If you're using things against them, just please don't use love as a transaction. Don't do something just because you're expecting something in return. Yeah. You know, it's not about who texts first, who leaves more. It's not about the waiting game, seeing who's gonna text first or who's gonna reach out first or ask to hang out or who's gonna plan it first. It's just about showing up. Like, just show up for your partner, show up for your friends, show up for your family. And a big one is learning that jealousy is never about other people. It is never about your partner or your friend or whatever. Jealousy is an insecurity that comes from yourself and within your own fear. And that fear can be healed by turning inward and remembering who we are on the outside of a relationship and on the inside. I think jealousy is really misconcepted. I hope that's the right word. In relationships, a lot of girls like that men are jealous. And I used to be one of those girls. I liked having that attention, that they cared, but it's actually so unhealthy. Like, you want it until it starts happening, and I'm telling you, it is not a fun game and down in a good road you want to go through. Jealousy is not fun. It is not healthy. It is a form of control. It is a form of insecurity. And it's just a form of saying, you know what, I don't actually trust you. And that sucks. Like, why would you want to be with someone that you don't trust? So, after a lot of ranting, if you've made it this far into the episode, thank you. Here are some practices that have helped me a little bit. Journaling. I love journaling. I love writing. Write down what happened, how it made you feel, what might be true. Asking for reassurance. You know, you don't always have to do things alone. You can ask the people around you for reassurance. maybe not constantly, but, you know, something very simple and clear. When you feel like spiraling, make sure you pause, go for a walk, call a friend, do something that reconnects you to you. Ask yourself, okay, is this truly about them or is it about me and something I'm feeling? Celebrate moments of security. I don't think we give ourselves enough credit. You know, when you handle conflict in a positive and calm way, or when you don't text back impulsively, notice that. That is a win. That is progress. And practice empathy too. Remind yourself that your partner, your friends, your family, we're all human. We're all gonna forget things. We're all tired and drained. We all have things going on. It's not always personal. So yeah, thank you for walking and talking with me today. I know this was a long episode. I just truly feel like attachment styles can be complicated, but they're also a really good invitation to just help us understand ourselves more deeply. You're not broken, okay? Your attachment style is not a flaw. It's just a reflection of what we're learning, what we grew up with, and now we get to unlearn it. And we are here to heal and to grow and just to learn how to love properly and safely and communicate and all the secure stuff. But I'm proud of you for listening to this. I'm proud of you for being here. I'm proud of you for reflecting and being open to change. And if you know someone that is going through something, send them this episode, connect with them. My DMs are always open. Know that you're so loved. God loves you as well. And I will talk to you guys next Monday. Take care.